Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 64 of the Webcomic Beacon. Yes, we are the Webcomic Beacon here on webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network webcomic community at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of Fessworks.com, and with me is, actually before I even got here, Tanya of betapone.com.
Hello, hello.
And we are joined with Valiant. And also joining us is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
Hey!
Wow.
Mark of AutumnLake.com here, yes. And stuff.
I apparently overslept, and I'm still kind of awaking, and I'm trying to see what's going on. My eyes got that cloudiness kind of still going, and I'm trying to blink it all away, and it's not going away.
Nice. It's good.
Maybe, yeah,
that
good.
Should help the reading. It should be nice.
We don't have any guests for the show today, right now. But we're hoping to get some call-ins later today, and people can call in by going to our talk show page at webcomicbeacon.com/live. When we do our show broadcast, people can call in through talk show, or if it works right, people can also call 1-320-310-0922 to get in on the show, or to leave a voicemail, or you can also just go ahead and leave a voicemail on Fessworks on Skype when we're not doing this show, and it'll be like a voicemail message when we come back to it. In any case, I want to thank who am I going to be thanking for this week's cover? I was thinking about drawing this week's cover, but I might end up just drawing a little art. This week we were talking about cast diversity, and the original idea, what I was going to do, just because it's so bad, was going to draw one version of Becky and then just color swap her out with like a different ethnicities, and I may end up doing an art like that later, but this week I'm going to be doing using someone else's artwork for it, and as soon as I find it, I will tell you what it is.
Okay.
I'm stalling. Okay. I'm stalling.
Yeah. You know, it actually really only works if you don't tell people that that's what you're doing. I'm just going to put that out there.
Just saying.
Are they saying no one can?
Okay.
Did you leave? I thought you just quit. Like, you just left.
I didn't leave.
Of course not.
He just napped off for a second there. He just nodded off.
Apparently some people say they can't hear me.
I think that's because, as has been mentioned, that maybe TalkShoe is made of Epic and Fail. We're not sure. It may be a plug-in issue.
Okay. Well, Tanya, you sound all right to me.
Oh, do I? You sound pretty good to me. I'm actually sick. I sound funny in my head. Your voice is a little distorted.
Yeah, whenever I just come in late to the show, TalkShoe seems to have problems with me, I guess. In any case, the reason why I couldn't figure out who sent me something is because I was looking in my webcomicbeacon@gmail.com email, where people should be emailing me things all related to Webcomic Beacon. She had sent it to my Fessworks account, and so I went on the site and I had to go actually take a look at it. But the person who has drawn what will end up being the show's cover is an artwork by Julie of The Song of Strago, which is at webcomicsnation.com/Strago/Strago, which is Straygo. Why it's twice, I don't know, but I'm sure it has to do with being on Webcomics Nation, which I don't particularly like their setup and everything, but that's another issue for another time. So that's that for right now. So I'd also like to thank George of DungeonLegacy.com for taking our show notes, and of course Witchy Bunny for being our little announcer that we use week after week. It's been 64 weeks. Isn't that crazy?
It's a little crazy.
Do you think we'll make it to 100?
I do.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
I think we'll die shortly after.
Okay.
It feels
There's so
long.
Much we could talk about. We could just sit there here is. Talking about boobies, and that would get us through
like
about
boobies.
1,000 episodes.
It would.
That's funny.
We'll
so do I.
We'd have to change the show, though.
Not really. Yeah. Because pretty much it's been about boobies.
Change
until
it.
Now.
Well, it, once
the
we get to
comic boobs.
I'm going to say the webcomic boobies or something like that, but...
I like boobkin. That's good. It sounds like a little furry thing.
This week on boobkin. We're going to...
Anyway, to avoid this spectacular failure from happening, the show's topic is cast diversity. A week or so ago, I started a thread on the webcomic list, which I do. I should have started one on the Rampage Network as well, but I totally forgot. But,
oops.
Okay.
You better not.
What?
My computer is trying to reset itself.
I thought you were just talking to the ether again. The voice is in your head.
No. No, my computer just dinged up. Your computer wants to reset because of the updates. And it's like, screw you, better not. It took me forever to get on this show today. Why is this happening? No. Okay, fine. Okay, here we go. On the webcomic list, I started this thread about cast diversity. Now, this isn't like... I'm not meaning it at all to talk about like civil rights and other like hard hitting topics like that. Merely, I want to look at cast diversity. Starting up from the easy stuff as far as male gender, male female gender ratio, and then going into characters of diverse ethnicities, cultural backgrounds. Basically expanding beyond. Drawing what just the artist is, because that typically tends to be what the writer or artist writes, who they are, white people will write white people, black people will write black people, and then we got a bunch of terrible white people, black people jokes going on, before you know it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just terrible.
But I think that's almost, for good reason.
Well, yeah, you write what you know.
Right, what you know. I have the perfect excuse. I have a slice of life comic. I live in Frederick, Colorado. Okay, we have a black family. I've seen them. Like, I don't know them personally. I've seen them around. Like, they're easy to find. Because this is white bread nation right here. Okay, we have white people and Hispanic people. Light-skinned Hispanic people. That's it. And that one black family. They're very nice. She's got great hair. I don't know them though, so they're not going to be in there.
Okay.
I don't understand what we're talking about.
We're talking about cast diversity.
The ability to paint
talking,
different colors.
if you're talking right what you know, then I definitely fall in that same boat too. I spent a lot of time up in northern Maine, so there again. When you talk about there's one black family in town, for a long time, there's just no black people there, except in the town. In the Fess is lighting up some clip or what? There was a fad, actually. I hate to say it, but there was a fad among the sort of upper class in town to adopt black kids. So there were three or four black kids in this entire white bread community, and I always kind of felt a little bad for them because they were just, by themselves, none of their culture, nothing, just immersed in that. And once I remember, I was on a bus, and I'm from Massachusetts, so I've seen black people, so it's no big deal to me. But this is, in the 80s, sometime the late 80s or something, we were on this bus. Going to a school, and there was an Air Force guy, because there was an Air Force base about 20 miles away, and he's in his uniform, and he's just walking down the sidewalk, and we drove past, And I'll never forget this girl behind me. Her name was Leah. And she said, "Wow, he sure is black." Like it was the most amazing thing in the world to see someone terrible. I mean, he did have a very dark, very dark skin. I mean, just she'd never seen that before. That kind of, culture I've never shock. Forgotten that. And that's just how she said it. Yeah, that's just how she said it, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we, I kinda, we don't get to
make a...
We have no diversity.
Yeah, have some diversity.
So to make a long story short, that's why I don't have any... I don't really have a very ethnic cast, I suppose, either.
Yeah. I was born in Pueblo, you know, down in Pueblo. So there was a large Mexican contingent, and there was a large Italian contingent, mm-hmm. and a large white trash contingent. It's really the way that works. It's the way Pueblo, Colorado works.
Isn't that where you write to get all the free pamphlets? You write to Pueblo, Colorado? Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Just saying.
But it's because they've got to do something in Pueblo. And frankly, you know, the coal plant's dead and the iron mill doesn't work anymore. So here, send out pamphlets. I don't know. Anyway.
Funny.
There are people who are better at it than us. A lot of the comics that I've noticed that have really good diversity in cast tend to be college comics. Because you end up with a lot of people from different places coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Which helps. It's not so white bread.
Oh, no doubt. In fact, well, not even in college. now, I'm trying to find it, but you guys remember the webcomic Cooties?
I do.
Which is basically, I think it's either like junior high or elementary. Most likely elementary, I think. And it has characters. Well, okay, here's his post. I may have somewhat forced diversity in mind, but it was more of a choice of artistic variety than any sort of political correct tokenism. Out of my five main characters, one is Hispanic, one is black, and he's also handicapped, and he even jokes about him being two minorities in one, which is kind of terrible, but you know you can get the joke as well. He says he actually plans to mix it up a little bit more in the future, but you know you got an elementary school and you got a wide variety of cast, and I even noticed that some of the aliens in his comic, there's like different shades of green aliens as well. So as he was saying, artistic variety.
And character differentiation that would make sense.
Diversity equals Power Rangers, somebody says in the chat room. Okay.
They are all different colors. Well, okay, now, but in that comic, you know, certainly you're getting diversity in style, in look, right? You can look at them and say, these people are from different cultures. But does it go beyond that at all? I mean, could you tell that there was a difference between the Hispanic family and the white family in their traditions and the things that they did?
I don't think they go into that.
Or is it just like, this is a different color?
I think it's mostly that it's a different color. They don't really go into that much detail about each individual family as far as...
So it's like Muppet diversity. Right, like when they did Sesame Street, they made a big effort to make all the Muppets different colors, and that was their way of saying it doesn't matter what you look like. So it's Muppet diversity. We just make them all different colors, but they all act the same.
That's diversity without going into it.
Okay.
I guess that would be the best way to say.
That's interesting because you have, I mean, there's an argument there, isn't there, that you don't want. Let's say you have a black guy in the cast and an Asian guy in the cast and whatever else. Maybe you don't want to call attention to the fact that they're different. Do you know what I mean? I mean, obviously,
you don't want to look like you're being stereotypical.
Right. Yeah. See, this is a problem that I have, I'll be honest with you. I did, at one point, I had a character I was going to add to Autumn Lake. This is back in the 90s. I was going to add this character, and he was going to be a black guy. And I remember coming up with him, not thinking, well, he's a black guy, but I just came up with this idea for a character. And he just happened to be black. That's how it turned out. But I never added him.
He just happens to be black.
Yeah,
I mean, George Carlin joke.
I remember I was coming up with these different characters, and then it was this guy, and he liked these different things, and it just seemed like, you know, that would fit. It wasn't like I was planning to do the next generation casting Star Trek thing where you have to cast by the numbers because I hate that. This is not very realistic either. But I didn't add him. I just seemed to... I had a lot of trouble trying to figure out how should I draw him. I wonder if anybody else has run into that, because I didn't want him to look like a cartoony stereotype. But then I didn't want him to look like he was just painted a different color. You know what I mean?
Like a white guy with black skin. Yeah. Yeah.
Color swap for the win. No, that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I did study... Part of my forensic studies was forensic anthropology. And, you know, when you're putting bones together, you do take into account the fact that different races have very different, distinct facial features. So they should be drawn differently.
Yeah.
It's always going to come down to, is someone going to assume that I'm being stereotypical and racist because I'm trying to accurately portray a culture? I remember very much growing up in Pueblo, Colorado, being in my little white section, and across the street, there were like three or four Hispanic families. And boy, when it was Saturday morning, you knew it because there was music and dancing, and it was like a whole different, it was very culturally different. I'm always afraid, though, because I've seen people get kind of killed for this. You know, oh, you're being stereotypical. Well, okay, it's my experience. This is what I've seen. It's still like that, you know, here in Frederick. It's not difficult to tell when it's somebody's 16th birthday. If it's a little white family, you don't know. They're off at a rec center or doing whatever it is little white families do.
Yeah.
But if it's a Hispanic family, you know, it's a huge event and it's a big cultural deal. And, but then are you just being tokenish? Are you being stereotypical and awful? Or
somebody brought up a question. What? Go ahead.
Ooh, have a question?
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say that's one of the dangers too. If you, and a reason why I rejected this character, his name was Richard, and I just sort of said, well, I can't go with that. Because if you make him, and I hate to say, too black, then that's going to make people angry.
Are you referring to, you know, how people kind of like assume that this is what a black person is like and this is how they act? And if you make them too black,
because he's going to have to. The other thing is he's going to have to represent. You know what I mean? He's like the one guy.
He doesn't.
He's
going
to
gonna
have to represent.
That is an incorrect assumption of the reader. To think that
because
you have one character of whatever cultural background, and even, I mean, come on, you can have quote unquote white black guys. It is possible.
Hey, wow, now we're getting into the whole Uncle Tom racial thing.
No. Okay, sorry. I'm making finger quotes when I do that. Sorry, I'm finger quoting white black guys. But this is kind of like a cultural error, though, to say that, because you're assuming that there's one white way of how things are, and if people of other cultures start to act like what we consider white, they're like not being a part of the culture. Culture is everything to do. Okay, culture and race are separate. Race is like genetically what you are. Culture has to do about where you're from, what you grew up with, what you hold for values. There's a difference there. You can have you have America, which is a big, holy crap, it's full of everything. So you really can't say that just because you're white from ancestry of Europe and stuff like that, that just because you're American and you have what's all over America, that's what white is. No, that's what American is. All this other all over is like, no, it's like most people that are white, I don't really think they really grasp what they say when they say white. I think what they mean is American. It's just kind of like this nuance thing. People don't think about this. They revert back to white being default. For stupid, it's stupid when people revert back to white being default. It's like,
I completely agree with you. A lot of the, I think it's oversensitized. I think that there's a lot of discussion that takes place where it does use white as the default. And I think there's a lot of discussion that takes place that assumes that a person's color automatically attaches them to a culture. And that is completely not true. I guarantee it doesn't matter if you're purple. If you grew up in Frederick, Colorado, this is as cultured as you're getting. Like, this is a very vanilla little town, and you will grow up to be a vanilla little person. It is going to be different than if you grow up in Detroit or if you grow up in Southern California, or, you know, you do get those cultural nuances. And it's not really about color. But the second you put something out there, there's always going to be somebody that's all on your case because your black guy acts like a white guy, or because your black guy acts like too much of a black guy, or because your Indian guy, you can't really tell if he's Indian or Asian, and are you making some kind of a statement?
White kids acting like black kids.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes, that's I wanted
it's
to
like,
avoid
why
that.
Why bother at all?
Well, okay.
I will just stay here in my little vanilla world.
The funny thing about that, when you have, like, the gangstas, that's all based off of white middle-aged gangsters from the freaking 40s and stuff like that. You know, so you got white kids pretending to be black kids pretending to be white old men. I guess when you have the gangsters.
Oh, they didn't bust a cap in your ass. They rubbed you out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying.
It's,
you know,
all the vernacular.
It's just an evolution of. It's like, okay, because I use that, those terms sparingly there, because really we're not talking about race in that situation, even though I just said a bunch of different races being pretending to be other races. No, that what that is, that's culture emulation, gangster culture. It's gangster culture. It's not black culture. It's not any sort of race. Yeah. It's gangster culture. It's just evolved a lot, and they've gotten younger. Though I'm pretty sure there's a lot of old school gangsters these days, too. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to go to our chat room and our TalkShoe Live chat room, and we're going to listen to some calls. So we'll be right back. Cool.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
But this is a really touchy subject.
You said that so much better than I did. That's true. That's just what I was thinking you said about there are too much or not enough or blah, blah, blah. They got to represent, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Somebody's going to bitch. I don't, you know, when I draw my little comic that's about my little life, never is it in my mind that I am representing white people as though we are some sort of Borg entity. Well, you know, so if somebody brings in any sort of minority character, okay, I have been accused that I am not properly representing women. That's my duty now. I have a vagina, and so because I have a vagina and I do a webcomic,
I'm all for it.
I have a vagina, I do a webcomic, I'm supposed to represent women in a certain manner. And when I don't, because I'm representing myself, not a gender, when I don't, I get mail. Oh yes. Yes I do. Apparently, a lot of people have made assumptions about why I am the way I am, and none of it's good. None of it's positive. So you're always going to get into trouble when people think that you are representing a huge group of people with a single frickin' character. They're just who they are. We all need to calm down a little bit, step back, and just let it be what it is.
Yeah, that
I
is...
do.
You do what?
Technically, I do have a Jewish character in the cast. Technically,
which
Leonard?
One is it?
Leonard. His last name, Leonard's last name is Gribnitz, and I only chose that name because it sounded funny. Gribnitz, sorry, but I thought it sounded funny. Maybe
just
I'm
because he has a Jewish name doesn't mean that he is Jewish. Or wait, wait. There's two different types of Jewish, isn't there? Isn't there one of the faith, and then there's like one of like actual from Jerusalem?
Well, there's well, that would be Israeli.
You can be Jewish by Stephen. My husband is he's Jewish because his mother was Jewish, and so he has no choice. Like, he's culturally Jewish, whether he wants to be or not. Somebody's like, "You're a Jew,"
and then there's Sam Davis Jr.
But it doesn't matter. He thinks he's an atheist, but it doesn't matter because by blood,
with that.
He's
yeah.
Jewish.
And then, but like, if you think of it as a faith, you know, he's not Jewish because he's. You said he's atheist.
No, he's not. He's an atheist.
Yeah.
Well, agnostic, same thing.
Yeah. No, it's not the same thing. But,
okay. Yeah. Okay.
Atheist? Agnostic? Maybe. There's a difference between no and maybe.
I would.
That's a different
okay,
subject.
Okay. Yeah,
that's something I would not. That's one thing I would not do. I would never do. At least I can't see myself. Maybe I might. Maybe I wouldn't do a story about Leonard, you know, exploring Judaism because I don't know anything about it.
Right.
I wasn't raised with that religion, so I don't know anything about it. The most I can do is sort of, you know, tokenize. I hate to say that. Maybe that's not the right word, but
yeah.
You know, just hit the highlights. You know what I mean? And there
oh, yeah.
again, you know, there again, you're gonna piss
unless
people off.
It's
well,
important.
Why?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Unless it's integral to the character, you really only need to hit the highlights. You know, I've done 2 full years of Betapwned. People know I celebrate Christmas. That's about it. Like, there's a lot of stuff in between there. You know that we family traditions.
A lot
and all of
not Christians celebrate Christmas.
Oh, of course.
Well, yeah. So.
Well, and that's what I'm saying though. You hit the highlights. You know, I've even in my own slice of life comic, I haven't delved into my character to an extreme. So yeah, there's no reason to do that. You hit the highlights.
I feel I would have to do so much research, and I would have to walk on so many eggshells to approach a topic like that. You know what? Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be actually more fun to make up a religion, and you know, something totally made up.
Yeah,
I didn't say something.
Just go with that.
No, I didn't say it. But I no, I mean, I think for comedy value, because I do a comedy strip,
mm-hmm.
I would probably. Invent a religion and make it obviously ridiculous or something.
Right.
Well, what is the one that Futurama has where that one's hilarious, but they just basically combined every single religion. That's I forgot what it was. I'm not really sure what it is, but I remember when it was like one of the movies or something like that when Lilo is going to get married to this other guy, and the priest or whoever said, and he is a combination of different types of rabbi, priest, or whoever, and he says, "We are here today, gathered here before one or more gods or fewer," and it's like, okay, it just kind of covers nice. Everything. Oh no, but. You guys are talking about your comics. I just wanted to quickly. I already talked about mine a little bit as far as the naming thing and went into how I named them. So I'll skip that. But it's like I try to keep a balance between male and female in my cast, and as well as between human and humanimals as well. I'm going with the word humanimals because of issues we'll discuss next week on the show. But just because I like balance and all. But it also, I try to go for because I don't like to have one over dominating type of character on my comic to work with. So that's why I keep going for that male female balance, so to speak. Though I tend to have way more females in my comic than I do have males. Especially, I have two guys that had died, so they're not in it anymore as a cast. I got to bring back two other females that were in my comic. So one's a humanimal, one's a human. And well, okay, that's one. But that's all. That's really all the extent. I don't really try to do anything diverse except for reasons which I've already said on the name show. So I won't go into that. So that's all I'm going to say for me. But right now we're going to go to the chat room. I'm going to look for people to call in. And I'm going to start with the people that have already. I'll go from the bottom up, and starting with CJ of Steal This Comic, and hopefully he's there to pick up.
Hey, this is CJ with Steal This Comic. I'm not exactly sure I'm going to include myself on this conversation here, but basically I just have a mostly black cast, but it's a really small cast, so I still consider it diverse. The two main characters are. The main character is a black guy, which is, I guess, patterned after myself, but
right.
The other guy, Corey, he's the white guy, but I never really addressed it yet.
Is it something you're planning on addressing?
Yeah, I mean, just here and there. I mean, I make little comments, but I've never really ever planned on making that a big issue. As far as stereotypes, I try to kill those quickly whenever I'm writing my strips.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the current storyline. No, he's not really a cast member. I was going to say that's just Mario. you got a crazy going storyline right now, I swear.
That's Mario with an O, so
yeah.
I don't get sued or anything.
Mario.
but that's, I mean, that's really the way it ought to be, though. I mean, if you have... an ethnically diverse cast, maybe they just shouldn't talk about it because it's not an issue for them.
Most of the people know each other well.
Yeah, and I mean, that seems to be more a hallmark of more recent times, I think. If it were even the 90s, then you might have to talk about it. You know what I mean? But now it's like nobody has... the big hang-ups, or not as many people, thank goodness, have the big hang-ups.
Not here. There are places. I spent time in Mississippi. I spent time in Mississippi.
The southern states. No, I'm just kidding.
There are still places where, it needs to be addressed. But right. I think for most of us, and especially I know a lot of us have readers in other countries. I have a pretty decent European following. They just don't care anymore. it just doesn't matter. It's starting to in a few little areas, but for the most part, everyone's over it. But a few holdouts.
Holdouts. This is literally the resisting change and acceptance.
Maybe a little, yeah. It depends. You know, if you've ever been around some really good bigots.
No, just kidding. I'm sorry. What? I was just being silly there. What'd you say? Something about people being bigots?
if you ever hang around some really good bigots, you know that there are a few people who still need to be clubbed in the head.
Well, if they're old, I'll give them the excuse for being old.
Oh, no.
You know, just because they'll die soon, and then you won't have to deal with them just because we win, and they died first.
I'm talking about people young enough to know better. Like,
I got a couple of cousins I get
pissed
off at.
People my age. Yeah, who it's either the race thing or the orientation thing
or gender.
They've got some little hang up, some group that they hate. Yeah.
You said some rube that you hate. That was a racial slur.
I didn't say rube, actually. No. I said group.
Oh, some I thought you said
that you hate.
That would have been
like
funny.
That's like
people who have...
Yeah.
But that, that's the way.
Talking more about diversity.
Yeah, diversity.
We haven't. You guys haven't covered really the size, like skinny people, big people too. I haven't really looked through all y'all's strips that much, but do you usually just keep it like medium sized, like Autumn Lake and Vetapond. I think is mostly just regular sized people. Do you try to be diverse with your character types that way too?
Well, Vetapond fluctuates because they're all misshapen bowling balls. Didn't you know?
Yeah, I've heard this.
Again, because Vetapond is,
I've tried to stay conscious of that too.
Life. We're all pretty much the size we are. I've made a few jokes about the fact that I've got big ass hips, but other than that, because I'm not really making up characters, the only characters that I've made up, actually, to be very stereotypical, of people that I don't like.
Okay.
So, it's true. That's what Amy's for. Amy is this woman that is, you know, 7 or 8 people that I cannot freaking stand, all stuffed together in this girl. So,
is that why she's,
because, you know,
I didn't say it.
She's,
yeah. I
she's,
that why
Ned, just watch it. You know, I don't know. I guess, again, just because mine's an accurate reflection of life, I don't really branch out that much. I have a couple zombies that are overweight. I don't know if that counts.
No. I would have to say, to be honest, that's an excellent question. I've never thought about it. I don't, actually. They're all about the same size. I think about it. I have occasionally drawn some, well, I call them throwaway characters, or, you know, fill-in-the-blank character, just for that strip, mm-hmm. or something, where, you know, it's like some overweight boss type guy. You know, he's like the middle-aged guy who's kind of heavy and looks mad all the time.
Some of that probably.
But I haven't actually. Yeah, I think I probably don't, because
standpoint, that's like the thing to be working on.
Yeah, I would have to figure out how to draw that character. That's one thing that I'd have to work out. Not like it's rocket science or anything, but I've never actually sat down to do it. And secondly, I'd probably want to avoid the Twinkie jokes and things that are tempting to do, because I wouldn't do. I wouldn't want to do that, but, you know, it's like, hey, I could go for the easy gag, and sometimes it's tempting when you're in a hurry, but...
Well, see,
yeah,
that's
more,
just
you're
as
absolutely
marginal.
Right. You're absolutely right. Drawing it would be...
That
would
is
be
a great
that
point.
To work out. Yeah.
Well,
I've never
the reason why I mentioned that was just not only just to try to be diverse with your writing, but artistically. I don't know if you guys have ever mentioned it, but on the Webcomics Weekly, they've mentioned it, and the book that they produced, there's the chapter where they're just talking about, like, if you take all your silhouettes of your characters, if you just have all the same height, you know, tall, short, fat, thin, if you're not being diverse in that way, it's more than just, you know, the attitudes or the things that we were talking about earlier, but also just looking at the characters. I think that's an important thing to consider.
And I forgot who said it.
Excellent point.
I forgot who said it, but some...
Scott Kurtz was writing that in the How to Make One Comics book.
There's another thing about a character silhouette. I forgot who said it, but I saw it like on one of the Adult Swim bumps at one night about if, or maybe it was, but about if you should be able to immediately tell who a character is by just looking at its silhouette.
Oh, I fail then.
Of course, that gets a little bit difficult if you consider all the types of silhouettes out there from all the different types of media, whatever. It may get a little bit harder, of course, but at least between your cast, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It probably is.
Yeah, I think short and tall things are a good way to not only just change the way your characters look, but you can make jokes off of that. When I was saying earlier, I try to kill stereotypes. Sometimes when I'm writing, I kill them to just blatantly make fun of them, like the Mario character.
Yeah.
You know, I did a couple Italian type jokes, but, you know, they got my character back in certain scenes too. So as long as you're equally racist or equally prejudiced toward everything, when you're making jokes, then you're fine.
Or if it's if it's like a character to do that, like, you know, if it's part of their character, that's also another thing as well.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the things that I shoved into Amy, is that she's very marginalized. She really puts people in very tiny little boxes, according to her very first impressions. And I stuffed that into her because it's something I don't like about people. If you have a character who's gonna, you know, be right, oh, he can't be gay, he doesn't like pink, then okay, that's, you know, that's their idiocy, that's fine, and you can move on from there, you know. You made a good point. You know, it's kind of the South Park model. If you make fun of everyone equally, then you can't be targeted as any sort of bigot. It's like, no, I just don't like people.
All right. Well, CJ, right. Thanks very much for calling in. We're going to move on to our next call again. And again, this is go ahead, plug your site.
All right. SteelThisComic.com. It can be found at SteelThisComic.com.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in.
Right. Bye. Good. Very good point.
Yeah.
Actually, a good enough point that it kind of, I mean, that gave me pause. We tend to think about diversity and immediately go to race and religion because those are, you know, American hot buttons. But, you know, in orientation, there are a lot of different ways that, you know, we should maybe be thinking about diversity, artistically beyond those typical, like, political absolutes.
Right. And before we get off on too much of a topic, a tangent.
We wouldn't want that.
I do want to get our next caller in. The next person to call in from the chat room is Swan Kavir. You can tell us who you are when you come on in. Hello, welcome.
Swank Ivy.
Yep, it's Swank Ivy.
Okay, Swank Ivy. Welcome to the show.
That's how you say it.
Do you have a webcomic that you work on, or just
a
listener?
First time. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm experiencing a little lag here, but yeah, it's -1.
Oh, okay. Did you have something to call in about?
Yeah, I'm not hearing you too good, but it's kind of coming through in patches.
Okay. Go ahead and say what you have to say.
Yeah, sure. Well, I was interested in this topic because I caught it a little bit late. I saw it last night on the post on Webcomic List. But one of my main storylines is the main character is a Chinese American woman, and she's in a mm-hmm. relationship with. Just a guy who's a basic white mutt, you know. They live in New York City. And she's going to have his baby. So there are, of course, some issues because her family does not like the guy that she's with, and now she's going to have a baby. So there is a little bit of friction there, but it's only the focus of the comic to the extent that you think it would be in real life. It's not the main issue of the comic or anything. It's just, I think that I deal with it about as often as you would normally see in real life.
Right.
I don't go outside. Well, I don't see anything in real life.
I can appreciate that.
What was that?
You know,
never mind.
Fest doesn't go outside. He's not allowed.
I can appreciate that. There are those moments where the diversity of the cast makes sense. There was a point in Candy where they specifically asked minority students to, you know, step forward and do like tours and things of the college. Right there, it suddenly became an issue. And then it went back to the fact that they're just people being people. And, you know, their relationships aren't normally affected by this. But there are events, though, where those kind of things matter. And I think that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, the main character's parents are actually from China, and she was born in the United mm-hmm. States, so she's kind of, she speaks both languages, and she really just kind of feels like halfway in both worlds, and doesn't really understand why her parents have such a hard time with her wanting to be with a white guy, if the real reason that they came to America was for opportunity.
Right. Right.
So that's one of the small issues. Of course, the main thing in the comic is when they actually have their baby, and then of course you have a biracial character, the baby.
Right.
So that's also diverse there. But she gets some uncomfortable questions now and then. Of course, mm-hmm. from you know, oh well, is the father white or are you her real mom? Stuff like that. But you know, it's a touchy subject sometimes, but it's definitely not the main point of the comic.
Right. Is it something you have personal experience in?
No.
Okay.
It just happened to be. It happened. happened to be who the characters are. I don't know. I don't really know why I decided to do it that way. Usually, if people ask me about my inspiration, I don't have a very good answer. But you know, I'm about as I'm one of those white, blonde, blue-eyed American mutts myself. So.
Speaking of diversity,
we had a question.
Do you find that? Go ahead.
I was going to say we had a question in the chat room. Somebody was asking, "Are you Asian?" Just curious. And the thing is,
I'm not.
Some people do write about people and cultures that they are not of personally, but that doesn't make it wrong. I mean, if you have some research or you have experience, you know, that's all valid. It's like saying that guys can't write women characters or vice versa, you know. You just gotta, handle it a different way. And it's like you're not allowed.
people get upset. They ask you, do you have the right to write this? Do you have the experience? They start questioning you as soon as they find out that's not your background. And I do have two male main characters, so you know I have several storylines, and they're all first person, so you bounce around. And so two women and two men tell the story.
Yeah.
But
I've never had any complaints.
Do any research.
Did I do research?
Did you do any research into the into the Asian character or the background there or anything?
I would say very little, mostly anecdotal. I don't have any friends or family who are specifically Chinese American, but I do have several friends and acquaintances who are either they're one half of a couple who's involved with a white / Asian couple. But strangely enough, both of those, my sister is about to marry a Japanese guy, and my best friend got married to a Filipino, and she's white. But both of those happened way after I started this comic, so that's kind of strange.
Awesome.
So I have comment boxes on the comic. Mm-hmm. So and I have a friend who is Asian, who when the main character who is a Chinese American started talking about her parents, saying, "Oh well, we don't want you to marry a white guy because you're losing your culture if you give yourself to him," blah blah blah. This friend of mine commented on the comic and said, "This really touches a chord with me. My family's like that too, blah blah blah." So it seems as though even if I don't necessarily do a lot of research, I can still sort of project myself into those shoes. Mm-hmm. And come up with what they might think, what that person might think. And I think that is just as valid as if I was copying a real story, as long as I don't actually get anything wrong.
Right. Yeah, well, and that's actually a good point. Any decent writer needs a good sense of empathy. The more you can put yourself into a character, the more likely that character is to be realistic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, heard that before, definitely. Which is one of the props I get pretty often is that I'm good at writing different characters believably, but I think people will immediately, they'll ask you, well, you know, how can a woman write a male character or whatever else? They'll start questioning you on some things that maybe they wouldn't otherwise.
Right.
If maybe they thought you were a male or something, they might start looking at you a little more critically, just like you guys were talking about before, saying like, "Oh, well, can you write a black character? Can you do this? Are you sure this is right?" And I mean, unless you're writing about the Jewish culture, and you have them eating pork or something, and you say that they're
that would
they're,
be wrong.
Really orthodox, obviously you're making a factual error. But otherwise, I don't see why.
Right.
I don't see why it would be, why it wouldn't be possible for someone to have a slightly different experience than maybe someone else. I wouldn't want someone to say, well, I'm Chinese American and I'm marrying a white guy and I didn't have this happen to me, because, well, it happened to them.
Right.
Hmm. Right. Right.
Well, you bring up some...
There are all kinds of ways that you can be diverse within diversity.
Right.
Yes.
And we're going to have to take a quick break again, but Swank Ivy, thanks very much for calling
sure.
in. You added a different element
thanks.
To the
no
conversation.
Problem.
Once again, this is Swank Ivy at negative one, negative one dot swankivy.com.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Yep.
Yeah, excellent.
All right. Now we're going to take one more quick break. And wow, this show is going longer than I ever hoped. And so that's a good thing. We're talking about stuff.
Oh, no, 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 no. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's not going longer than you hoped. You came 10 minutes late.
Oh, right. No, I'm
oh, yeah, there's that.
I go by what my
recorder
says. Well,
and then we make funny noises for like 10 minutes, too.
I'm going by what my recorder says, how much time I've recorded. So, all right. We're going to go to break. When we come back, more stuff.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
Thanks to this week's Project Wonderful advertisers sponsoring this week's broadcast, Hole, a fantasy webcomic at holecomic.com, has our header banner, and also Kill You is advertising on our tower banner, and that's at tpcth.smackjeeves.com.
Ooh, you know what I love more than stuff? More stuff.
Hey,
and stuff
who doesn't?
Good too.
We're going to have... I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, shoot. Oh, okay, wait. Okay, you know how we had our anti-Valentine's Day episode?
Yes.
Okay, I went to the Webcomic Outlook. It's a webcomics blog, a review blog, and I got to find where it is, Webcomic Outlook. And there was a review of a webcomic called Sam and Lila, which couldn't get any more related to Valentine's Day ever. It is
really.
I'm trying to find what the link is. I think it's on like one of those silly websites. Damn it, stupid browser. Okay.
That's something we need to talk about is you know, when I Google somebody's comic and the first thing I get is a webcomic list that eventually links to their site, that annoys the hell out of me.
No, I was just, it's, okay, Sam and Lila, because it's at act-i-vate.com/42.comic. And what that is, the terriblest URL I've ever seen.
You'll have to put that. You'll have to put that in the chat because I can't type all that crap.
Okay, putting this in the chat. Now, as far as how much crap we gave to other webcomics, this obviously has a male Mary Sue type character, and so it's a main female character and a main guy character, and apparently, It's kind of like the relationship shouldn't work. I'm not going to tell the story because there's not as much there. You can sit in one session and read through it all the way up to the current thing. And so I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm basically going to say it's kind of like a relationship. Oh, this shouldn't really work, but we're going to go ahead and see how it goes. And this has to be one of the guilty pleasure comics for me because I actually like this comic. Even though it's all like kind of what I was ripping on the other week. I don't know. There's something about it. Really, the art is really good. I do like the art. It's kind of got like this old schoolish feel to it with a hipster kind of feel to it. Very good art. Very good.
Love. Yeah.
And
it reminds me of Akimbo actually, but with color. It's very pretty.
So I just wanted to say that I'm a hypocrite, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find it's just adorably endearing and terrible at the same time, but I can't help but want to know how it's going to work out and everything. But I don't know. I think we put up these kind of anger fronts for so long that eventually we're going to fall out of it and we're going to find something that just, okay, guilty pleasure. So I'm putting it right out there that, yeah, I'm bad for liking this comic. But in any case, moving on.
If I could draw half this.
Okay, I like the art, but I have not been sucked into whatever Sugary Vortex Fest was.
Yeah, and
Sugary Vortex.
I've gotten so much hate and pent up rage that sometimes something this sugary
you
is just going to get me.
You have become the monster.
Yeah.
You have become the monster you railed against. Yeah, I can't. I got to about fourth comic and went. Stop. I'm done now.
Anyway, we're gonna continue our conversation on cast diversity, and on the horn we got Jinx Tiger once again joining us. Jinx Tiger is from the webcomic Tally Road at tallyroad.com, I believe, right?
Hey, that's
hey.
Right. Yep.
Hey, awesome.
Hey,
you have comments and perspective on what?
Oh,
we're talking
my God,
about.
Do I ever?
Okay. From the sound of that, I don't want to talk about all of it. Just some really good parts of it, because I don't think we don't have that much time.
Oh yeah. Well, whose fault is that? That's... Anyway, he goes. Right. People were talking about stereotypes, mm-hmm. and
yes,
also like reference. I have a book that is really good for anybody who's interested in digging into this sort of thing more to read. It's called The Death of Rhythm and Blues by a writer named Nelson George. And he is a black writer talking basically about the birth of R&B and as it went on into, like, you know, disco and crossover and stuff and what happened to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of really eye-opening stuff there, particularly if you have the tendency towards the Star Trek, like, everything will be wonderful if we all just act the same. You know? That kind of thing makes me cringe now. Now that I know a little bit more, that makes me cringe now. You have, like, there have been certain, you know, black entertainers and so on who have broken records, beginning with, you know, Jackie Robinson getting into baseball, and before then there was the Negro League, which basically mm-hmm. disintegrated after black people could be in regular baseball. You had Bryant Gumbel being the first major talk show host, and he would say, you know, I have become colorless. I have non-ethnic diction. I have perfect diction and non-ethnic characteristics. You would have, like, for instance, Michael Jackson broke the color line on MTV. Before Michael Jackson, there was no black artist on MTV. Tina Turner or whatever, mm-hmm. no. And it took Michael Jackson to do that. You got Michael Jackson. You've got George Benson. Those two artists do not have stereotypical black features. Why surgery? There's a lot of questions to be raised about you could call it stereotypicality. And another a big question is assimilation versus the preservation of, say, ethnic characteristics or whatever.
Right.
Richie so Valens had to change his name if he wanted to be on the radio. Yeah.
it's worth not being too spooked by, you know, like, oh, somebody will think, you know, that's what I really like. Carlos Sile's comic, Steal This Comic, but one of the reasons I like it is not because it speaks to my own upbringing or anything, you know, I'm a suburban white kid, but that it rings true as far as being a culture that's not mine. You know, what I've seen a little of, yeah, but, right. You know, it doesn't come off as, well, they are like me. They are like I was when I was growing up, you know. I could be reading a nerdy gamer comic, and some of that would be very much like me, but, you know. It's worth not being too spooked by that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, things get homogenized. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's the Star Trek thing. Everything will be fine if everybody just acts white enough. You know, back in the day,
Or is wearing a red shirt.
No, that's the prejudice, all right. Back in the days of R&B, they would have R&B radio stations, you know, basically like the first rappers, and some of the most popular ones were very ethnic and very stereotypical. But you would get, you know, in this book I've read, they recount, you know, R&B DJs talking all funky. He's like, oh, he talked so fast, he hit himself in the eye with his tongue. And going on about stuff and selling things to black audiences with great success. But one of the examples given was, you know, here's some stuff that your wife can smear on her face, make her a couple of shades whiter, even if she'd already looked pretty good to you. And I'm like, what? My take on that is wait, I'm missing something here. I wasn't part of that culture, so I didn't grow up with that kind of like, oh, you're a darker shade, so you're bad, you know.
Yeah.
And now today everyone's tanning to try to get darker.
Like that, it just makes you think.
Well, but no, in India, it's a serious thing. In India, they have acid peels, and it's, you know, lighter skinned women are considered more, you know, marryable. I mean, the marketing is horrible. Mm. It's if you want to catch a man, you better look whiter. You need to look less Indian. So,
That's terrible.
It is still very much an issue. And you're right. If you don't necessarily go along and actually explore those cultural ideals, you know, as poor little white bread vanilla folks aren't going to understand that that there are these cultural differences.
That's terrible that women have to do things like that, or feel that they have to do things like that, such as white women getting...
They don't have to, but they're told.
Well, like in a culture where it's... Like, I'm going to say, in some, you know, Persian cultures where, well, women may not have that many rights, and you're kind of forced into situations, of course. That's what I was talking about. But also, you got, like, you got, like, a white girls. What are they doing? They're getting deep tans and everything. So it's like everyone's trying to go for, like, this kind of, like, in between white and darker skinned, and it's like...
We all need to look like Cappuccino.
Smokey Robinson. Yeah, Smokey Robinson, because he was a lighter shade of black.
Oh, really? I didn't realize.
Yeah, that's where the name came from. It was not actually born with Smokey on his birth certificate. No.
I assumed.
That's another racial thing.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, it gets into all different kinds of stuff. For instance, you can have religious caste issues. You can have two people who seem to be the same shade, but one of them is like a Sikh, and the other one is a untouchable Hindu caste. And it would be really hard for you to understand the way they would look at each other or think about each other, which is why it's useful to be smacked in the face with this kind of stuff now and then.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, the attitudes are primary. Somebody mentioned in the chat room a while back. I can't even read the chat room when I'm getting ready to go on the call because I have to have my thinking straight.
And it's very active today, too.
They mentioned, it's very active. They mentioned Jewishness being passed matriarchally.
Jewishness.
If your mother was Jewish, you were Jewish.
Right.
I have my ex-wife actually converted to Judaism. I touched that whole side of things and got familiar with it. And it's very different lifestyle. You know, these prayers and these things that you do and. Reasonably welcoming, for a white suburban boy. But
I actually did a year of the conversion process back when I was, you know, a religious girl.
Yeah.
I did a year of the conversion process, and What I was amazed by is it takes an incredibly long time out of your day to be Orthodox. Judaism.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Takes so much time out of your life, and that's a lot of time to just meditate on God. Let me tell you, because wow, there's preparations to be made and a lot of work.
It's a powerful thing. I mean,
it really was.
If you haven't thought about what it would be like to live your life most of your day thinking about God and your obligations to your deity and stuff, some people wouldn't have any idea what that's like. You know. You're a gamer suburban kid, you know, like, what? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
That's lame. You know, but, you know, and that's
that,
one
that
of
reminds
the,
me of another book.
Nice to...
Yeah?
Another book?
Did we lose? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that reminds me of another book that came out maybe last year.
We were talking.
Year.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. About.
What are you trying to tell us, Mark?
Living Biblically. Do you remember that book, A Year of Living Biblically, or something like that, where this guy, he actually, he got the Bible, he lived a whole year, and this is what he does things like this. He lived a whole year strictly by the Bible, with everything you need to do, and then he wrote a book about his experience about it.
I bet he ran into some contradictions.
I think he said a lot of it was hard to do. A lot of it was hard to do as a modern person. A lot of it was hard to do because it was stuff from like 2,000 years ago. But it was hard on his family, too, because in order to get into this role, which I hate to say get into this role, but he had all these rules he had to follow, so that affected his family. Mm-hmm. And like his wife had to walk so many steps behind and all this. I'm paraphrasing here. That was something I vaguely recall him talking about. On Fresh Air or whatever show it was I was listening to. But that made me think of that. Another way of looking
at... being a modern person. Being a modern person is a role, too.
That's true.
It is, actually.
That's true. In fact,
that's the real mind.
In fact, when you talked about that book about Smokey and the history, I was thinking, for anyone who wants to do a historical story, that... it's not as, I hate to say, black and white as people think, is it? I mean, there's so many different nuances.
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, it's like back around, you ever heard the name Booker T. Washington?
I've heard of it, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Booker T. Washington was a, I'm not exactly sure how to describe him, the black public figure around the time of lynching and Jim Crow. And he was pushing for colleges. He was pushing, like, Tuskegee University. And he single-handedly got a lot of that stuff started from basically nothing. But there was also another figure of the day called W.E.B., I think, Du Bois. And he was not an assimilationist. And I remember I was flipping through the book. I couldn't find it. But I remember there was a place where they said, you know, for those who weren't living through it, it is impossible to imagine the hostility held between these two camps. And they were both black, but there was the assimilationists versus what you might call isolationists. Like, no, we are not going to try to adopt as many white things as possible and be good and a credit to the race and we'll see through, you know, which was a phrase that they had back then. There's a lot of interesting historical stuff because this is really where interesting story practically comes from. It's the conflict. It is views in opposition, people butting heads with each other. And in Star Trek, you basically have to have a giant square cubicle ship attack you in order for something interesting to happen. But then even in Star Trek, you get onto like Deep Space Nine, and suddenly we've got racial issues. Suddenly we've got, you know, Bajorans, Cardassians, all this different kind of stuff. And
Black Vulcans.
Story.
Black Vulcans. Oh, no.
I never thought that. Did that even count? Did he even count as a black person, or was he just a Vulcan that happened to be a different shade?
The way they played it off, it was that he's a Vulcan that happens to be a different shade. Yet I don't recall seeing any white Klingons at all, so.
No. No, there isn't apparently much genetic diversity. No, it did not. It did not. And there was actually a lot of you know, Star Trek is a good comparison, actually, believe it or not, to the webcomic world. There's a lot of that same thing going on where things are barely touched on, glanced off of. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, this kind of exists, but we're going to ignore it. You know, where you have this, it's still very homogenized. And those comics actually that do have very distinct cultural differences are usually lionized. They're usually demonized and don't last long.
Lionized and demonized are very different things.
Well, yeah, it's one of the two. And yeah, it's one of the two. It's that they're either, you know, they're either looked at as this big highbrow thing, which is typically not what the artist was intending, and it sort of falls apart, or it's looked at as this huge, horribly racial thing, and it falls apart that way. I don't know. I think right now America's fucked up.
What do you mean right now? Right now.
Okay, we're mostly fucked up all of the time. But I think, you know, we had that pendulum swing where, you know, now we're all panicking and everybody needs their 18 subsections of what they are in order to feel that they have a racial identity. Sooner or later, I'm hoping we'll calm down and it will just become about a person being a person.
Yeah, I mostly don't care. But
I think it's funny.
There's in Star Wars. There's also a funny thing. We're talking about Star Trek being all very white bread and homogenized. The opposite in Star Wars, Tusken Raiders. They sort of squeal like and shake clubs and beat up Luke Skywalker, and you never learn anything else about them other than, you know, they will run away, but they'll come back in greater numbers. and that's all you know about them. But the funny thing is, those are not homogenized at all. If we knew or cared about them and treated them as people and learned, you know, why do they do this? How are they acting? Then it would be more interesting. But it's definitely not the Star Trek type of thing.
Hey, Jinx Tiger, now that I got you on and I can't avoid it anymore because the chat room is asking about it. People are asking about how do furries fit in as far as race and such. And I kind of wanted to not talk about that this time because we're going to try to talk about furries next week. But we can touch on this a little bit. But I'll first start off by saying there's a guy named – well, he does a furry comic called Cheap Thrills. He goes by Evisceration Bob on Fur Affinity. I forgot what his actual name is. I asked him about it one time if the – different types of characters, because he's got like Jack Rabbit, who's dating a cat. And as far as I understand, in real life, they're based off of a black guy and a white chick. And I was wondering if that translated into the comic at all as far as this and that, as far as racial stuff. He said not really as much, because the way he treats race as it's...
Well, it depends. It's a bit different, but it's not so much race, but it says species.
But isn't race already a subspecies, technically?
There are different things to examine, actually, Fess. For instance, did you ever do a study of all of the different species listed in Fremont? Because I did.
No.
And there are hilarious things to be learned from it. No, nobody would do that except for a nerd like me. But I did, so I get to share the fruits of that with you.
Before you do that, I
have to go.
I have to go feed 10-year-olds.
Oh, we'll save some cake for us.
Okay, well,
I'll see movies one more time.
Don't miss too much.
And then I'll go off.
All right, thanks for joining us.
I've never seen any movies in the 3 months.
Yeah, my movies are good. Okay.
All right, see you later, Tanya. Thanks for coming.
Bye.
Okay.
Okay, go.
My point was that almost every fox on the Furry Muck listing of species chose some different unique name. In words, the flying fox or a spotted bouncing fox or God knows what, they all had to be different from each other. They all had to have unique species identifications, all the foxes. On the other hand, dogs, we would generally put dog. And they would have no problem with that whatsoever. You know, from when I was doing costuming type stuff and making tails, you could, white tigers were always poverty stricken, but the characters of the white tigers were enormously wealthy and powerful. There's all kinds of hilarious stuff to be learned from all that kind of thing.
And what was this? But, what was this research on again?
This was some years back. I did a study of all of the character species listed on FurryMuck, which was a large online virtual hangout with thousands and thousands of people on it, because I wanted to see what the percentages were.
Can you spell
lots
that
of
out?
Foxes, lots of wolves.
Can you spell that out?
FurryMuck.
Okay. For our note taker.
The very old school thing that was like back in the days of BBSs and things like that, practically.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, the people normally seem to take the Star Trek attitude towards these things of, you know, all the animals basically all act the same and don't tend to have, I'm trying to think if they're. One very major exception to that, of course, would be Mouse. Mouse is, to some extent, furry, seeing as, and that's not a webcomic per se, but seeing as it is a Holocaust remembrance. But he has assigned species to different classes of people.
Well, already.
I'm trying to think if there's any further elucidation to that question there, because... Having told you the FurryMuck thing, I'm like, oh, okay, I know what.
I guess there's not really a whole lot more to go into. I mean, a lot of people will be like, you know, you got your cats versus dogs type of things, and people will, like, pit them as what I guess cartoonically or stereotypically that each animal would be known for, like foxes are foxy, cats are lazy, dogs are loyal, you know, the basic stuff. But, you know, that.
I like running with some of that kind of.
I don't.
I mean, with my comic, I've got a couple of different slants on that I can go over very quickly. And I have a couple of Siamese cats that are both insane and incredibly high-strung, which is almost a running gag in a way. But they are kind of wired and sort of psycho. And I have a thing going on where I have a female wolf character who's actually, like, thin and hot and stuff, but I have never gotten into the fact that on the world that they come from, I don't consider that to be the stereotypical female attractiveness. On the world of the wolf people, I more or less decided that the wolves all want each other to be sort of stocky and barrel-shaped and to be fairly similar. It's all sort of pack identification thing. More than, you know, well, females should look like this. So the wolf males like the females to look basically like them. And
so,
they are all fairly stocky.
It's that it's developing a culture around that, essentially, and not going what is basically
It's going in the face of what you would assume, which was like, oh, okay, well, this lady wolf is skinny, and so therefore she must be considered super hot. Well, not so much.
Well, we're running out of time, and we can talk more about things like that next week. I don't know yet who all I'm all having on. I have a lot of things in the air, but I also got people, which this sounds bad, that I'll have in backup. I'm trying to get bigger people first. You know what I'm trying to say? Because everyone's
like the Letterman show.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to say who I'm trying to get on because, you know, that's improper.
They just do the walk on. At the end, like
Jay Naylor.
No. Anyway, I want to Jinx Tiger, thanks very much for coming on. We got to do our news right now.
Thank you.
So,
all right.
Again, Jinx Tiger of TallyRoad.com.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Thanks. All right. Now we got the retorts. Yeah. Definitely, we could even elaborate on some of that more than what we're going to be touching on next week in a different show. We got show ideas up the wazoo, basically. But, Mark, how about we do some milestones?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let's take a look at what we got here.
You get those emails. I don't get them.
Yeah.
Unless I happen to spy them out.
Yeah, I'm gonna look in our Twitter and see if we got anything in our Twitter box. Twitter, I hate Twitter. It's stupid. I see, like, I'm driving around and I see, like, this movie theater has a Twitter account and they put it on their billboard. It's like, that is sad. It's so sad. I hate all this stupid crap. This stupid social networking BS. Anyway, let's see here. We have...
Boobies.
Did I mention ETIPI last week?
I don't think so.
That's
ETIPI?
What's his face's whatchamacallit?
What?
The guy who does Zordic.
What's his face's whatchamacallit? Has a milestone.
Oh, Mark Mecki. Sorry, yeah. The guy who does Zordic has another webcomic called ETIPI. That hit its 100th milestone, I think, pretty soon here, or it could have been last week. Also, we have Eros Inc. at eros-inc.com, which has hit 100 comics. Also, just in Faulty Logic and... FaultyLogic.comicgenesis.com has hit 100th, as well as House Pets has hit 100 comics. And I might have missed that one, or I might have said it already, but I love House Pets. It's so fun.
Is that all? I thought it had been around longer than that. Is it a weekly? Or a... I can't remember.
I thought it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it started last year, during 2007. Of which, of course, we're attempting to do webcomic beacon, webcomic award, something or other.
The Beakies,
essentially. We got a few things going on. We're planning. Let's go over this for everybody, because everybody, we want everyone to submit qualified webcomics. But we have four award categories. But I have a feeling two of them may not work out well. First award category is the Newbie Beaky Award. This is handed out to outstanding new webcomics. Yes, the point of the Beaky Awards is to look at and recognize great talent of new material, because it's the easiest one to do without getting into drama and popularity contests. Basically, we're looking at webcomics that started between November 2007 and December 2008, while considering the updates that go through February 2009, just to give those later ones a bit of a chance to update.
Beakies.
And we're looking at giving away 2 to 4 Newbie Beaky Awards. Also, another award I kind of put in here at the last time I looked at it was the Standalone Complex Award, which is handed out to new short story form webcomics. This is webcomics where basically... you have a story, you presented it, and you finished it. Basically, beginning between November 2007 and December 2008, ending before February 2009. This is an emphasis of short story, because they are written differently than ongoing versus, you know, short story. Also, if we can figure this out, how to work it right, the Ugly Duckling Award, 1 or 2 webcomics we'd be looking at to boast most outstandingly improved webcomic from the year beforehand. I'm not sure if we'd say they have to be new the previous year. I think it kind of went for anybody, but this one may not work out well, so we might drop this. And the other one is the Listener's Choice Award. This is where, basically, if we hear about it a lot from our listeners, this would be our Listener's Choice Awards. I don't want to do anything with voting or whatnot, because every time you have a People's Choice anything that's a vote, it tends to get abused, and it tends to be a popularity contest and doesn't really reflect actual value or worth of something like that. You see dozens of these things, and it's like, it's obviously a popularity contest. They're not looking at any real critical meat of anything. So, but essentially, let's go for go over the total eligibility for the 1. Must be started between November 2007 and 2008, and consider the updates through February 2009 when judging quality, with, of course, the exception of the Ugly Duckling Award. Must still be updating or properly ended. Aside from that, must not be on an extended or indefinite hiatus, but never should have an abrupt ending, like it's been abandoned. And no, I'm not saying like little like little hiatuses are fine, but that all is something for us to consider when we go through and judge these. Must be a new comic, not a restarted nor a relaunched comic. Spin-offs and side comics to apparent comics would work, though. Print comics that are repackaged for online only count if it was if the print was created within the time frame, mostly because we're the webcomic Beacon, not Comic Beacon. So, yeah. And also must be entirely free to read online. No subscription stuff, no parts of the archives hidden behind subscription walls. That is not cool. So you guys can send us stuff. We got a pretty good list going. In an episode or two, we are going to be releasing our final list so everyone can take a look at. And we got some really good ones in here. And
have we thought of what a beaky is going to be? Do we have like a little figure of a furry or something?
No, it's just going to be...
Do they get a physical award?
No physical award because I'm poor. But it'd be like a custom-made graphic. We don't make money here. It's a custom-made graphic, essentially. And also, during that time, I will be putting out an advertisement campaign on Project Wonderful that would be basically advertising a page where people would click on to see the awards, and it would be all listed right there, and people can... click beyond and go visit those webcomics. That is the plan anyway.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of news.
Beaky.
Yeah, we got a lot of news already. And now this is a really long show, especially with all the news. So I got it is. It is really long.
Webcomic C has put this in the chat room.
Yeah,
the award is a broadcast tower drawn on a post-it note mailed to each winner.
With my autograph, we'll do that. It'll be worth more. In any case, speaking of Webcomic Z, WebcomicZ.com has done a spin-off project called WebcomicWallpapers.com. Now, this actually caught my eye, and I'm gonna WebcomicWallpapers.com, and it's really cool. For anyone who knows, working with PayPal is kind of a pain in the butt if you want to get credit card payments, because it will charge you a percentage plus 30 cents for every transaction after you upgrade to a Premier account. If you don't upgrade a Premier account, they'll restrict you to 3 credit card acceptances per month, and that's 5% at least, plus 30%. So if you're trying to sell a dollar desktop wallpaper, you're not getting much of anything out of that. You maybe got like 60 cents after that for one of those accounts, and that's pretty bad. So webcomicwallpapers.com is set up in a way where people can will apply for an account, set up webcomic wallpapers, that will essentially sell for 100 credits as far as the site works. People pay the site for like $6.50 for 500 credits, which comes out to a little bit more than a dollar per wallpaper, and that covers all the PayPal fees. And of course, they're going to be hosting a lot of image files, because when people set up, there's an assortment of resolutions that they want to have in each download. So everybody that will they'll pay for one will get the resolution they want. And basically, you can come away with 75 cents. Per wallpaper, which is actually fairly decent if you consider PayPal fees, and actually you would make more, a little bit more than PayPal fees, because already you're losing at least 30 cents. So 75.
Bookmark this site. Click.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, but
I did.
Okay. But you don't just have to have a webcomic on there for sale. You can have a webcomic wallpaper on there for free for people just to go ahead and download. People can also choose if they want use some of their credits to basically donate to get your wallpaper. So how some people work already, only they can also download it for free instead. You can also make coupons, which you can give to readers or post on your site for people can download the webcomic wallpaper for free versus people that don't go to your site would end up paying for it or something like that. Or for a special contest, you can just give out coupons for free wallpapers or such, and then you know everyone else has to uses their credit system and whatnot. So it's still in beta. So that's very important to understand. It's still in beta, so they're still working out the bugs, but you can go there, check out the facts. If you got questions, go ahead and send them a question because it's in beta. That's their point. But I think it'd be a really good service because it helps helps direct, I guess, sort of a payment system where people are a little bit more willing to try it out more and see like a big gallery of different things. There's only two there right now, but go over there and sign up for an account and start uploading some cool webcomic wallpapers. Now,
yeah,
that's webcomicwallpapers.com. Man, this show is so long. You know what? We're gonna have to skip searchlights, and I had a spotlight for this week, but I'm gonna have to save it for next week. I do want to mention that Zebra Girl, while very rarely updated, maybe updating more frequently because he's not doing a full page anymore. He's going to be breaking it down into either strips, like two rows, one row, three rows, or the entire page as far as how he feels it should go. So basically you can get like parts of what would be end up being a full page more often. So I only say that because Zebra Girl is awesome, and that's good news. Mark, do you have any news and stuff to add before we get out of here?
No.
Oh.
But.
Oh.
No. 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 Wait. No.
Hate.
No, I don't. No.
All right. Well, thanks to everyone who in the chat room who's been in on this show. It's been very active this time. Very happy with the turnout. Thank you very much to all of our callers. The show went very long. I hope you guys are not dead tired by the end of this MP3. Anyway, this has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
And this is Mark from AutumnLake.com.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. See you later.
That's all for The Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Oh, pasty. I thought it said
that's a pasty white ass.
What would a pastry white ass?
Buttery.
Cream filling.
Now that's too much.
But anyway, see, they could hear me okay.
However unfortunate that may be right now. I'm usually the one that grosses people out. That's not your job. Like, you're the nice guy that we keep telling people, no, he's really freaking twisted, and nobody believes us. Beth doesn't know what the hell's going on.
No, I'm just kind of waiting for you guys to, you know, stop.